Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God has enabled us to share in the strength that He provides. And there is nothing greater than serving the Lord, than being a part of the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? Are you excited about that? Hallelujah. You know, God is an awesome God, and walking with the Lord through life really makes a huge difference. And when you experience God, He strengthens you. He enables you. He raises us up so that we can navigate through the challenges and the difficulties of life, and we are able to overcome. We're able to prevail. And that is why we are talking about being polished arrows this month. And as we conclude this series, we are so excited about what God is doing in us and through us as representatives of the kingdom of God. As a child of God, you represent the Lord. You represent the kingdom, and you represent all that He is. And so we pick up our mantle and we persevere in the things of God. Isn't it your desire to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill the call of God, to actually impact the world for the sake of Christ? Well, I hope it is. And I pray that, hallelujah, amen, thank you. Praise God. At least there's a couple of you out there. And we certainly do expect that God is going to use us. He is there to cover us, to watch over us, but He's also there to enable us so that we can do the things that we need to do. It's a partnership between us and God. We surrender ourselves to Him, and He works through us to accomplish His own will. And that's exciting. And so we're going to take a look today as we examine the Word of God. Here in the Psalms, as Psalm 76, verse 3, it says, "Then He," talking about God, "broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war." In this passage, we are given a glimpse of what it is that God is able to do. Throughout the history of Israel and throughout the scriptures, we see that God is the one who would fight for His people. The people still had to rise up and go to face their enemies, but it was God who gave them the victory. It was God who would go before them, and that principle still applies today. The Lord goes before us as we obey His will and follow His commandments. And as we walk with God, God goes before us. And He is able to bring down the weapons of warfare of the enemy. In other words, He can render whatever it is that's working against you to be ineffective. He can bring things down. He can break them or wipe them out. And so whatever it is that's oppressing you or binding you or hindering you or even that comes against you in your life, God has the ability to break that off of you. He can liberate you and set you free. The question is, do you really want to be free? Do you really want to be free? Are you willing to do what it takes to be free? And if we're willing to obey the Lord and to follow His principles, we can overcome. And that's what the Word of God is really all about. And so I would like to use as a theme today, the divine order. Well, are you ready for the Word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for Your Word. And we ask, oh God, that You would wash us and cleanse us, Lord. Forgive us for our sins. Help us to hear Your voice and to follow You. Mold us and shape us into Your image. Enable us to be the people that You have called us to be. Our desire, Lord, is to become polished arrows. Our desire is to pick up the mantle of the Lord and move forward and prevail with a zeal unto God, prevailing beyond the times, the situations of we find ourselves in. And Lord, we just ask that you would be glorified in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's certainly important for us to understand that God is a God of order. And everything he does a specific way. He's worked out the details of things, and he knows and he understands everything there is to know so that he can actually help us to endure and persevere through life. God is a God who has foreknowledge. And what that means is God knows whatever is going to happen before it's going to happen. He already knows your future. He knows my future. He knows what decisions are going to come our way and what we're going to have to do and the choices we're going to have to make. It's not a surprise to God. He doesn't say, oh, I wish I had known that. If only we had known that sooner. Oh, we could have helped them overcome. Oh, we could have made a better way. No, God already knows. God does know. He knows, and that is why he's given us the Word of God. The Word of God is designed so that when we follow the principles of God's Word, it prepares us so that whatever comes our way in life, we will be able to face it. And this is why the scripture says there's nothing new in all the earth. It may be a different generation, a different season. It may be different players, different people involved. However, the principle of what is taking place in your life and mine is the same. It has happened before. And people have faced this same type of challenge or difficulty the same way that we are facing them. The only difference is it's a different time in history or a different technology or a different place, different people. But the principle is still the same. And so when we follow the principles of God and his word, God enables us to overcome. The Holy Spirit is alive. Hallelujah. And he is real. He is active. And he is walking alongside those who have Christ within them. Not only is the Spirit of the Lord in you, but he is with you. And so God walks with us so that he can commune with us. He is known as an advocate, the Word of God tells us. He is our paracletus. That's the Greek word for your legal advocate. He's your lawyer. He advises you. He speaks to you. And no matter what your situation is, he's always there waiting for the opportunity to counsel and advise. And if you're willing and you are able to tap into the Spirit of the Lord, then you will hear his voice. This is why Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice and follow me. And that's because there are many voices in the world. There are a lot of people trying to speak into your life, trying to tell you what to think and how to live. And God says, if you hear my voice and follow me, you will overcome. You will prevail. And so God has given us tools, and he has given us the ability to overcome. And that is why we follow his divine order. When I was a Boy Scout, I was a part of a group called the Order of the Arrow. And the Order of the Arrow was a group of people who were nominated into this group and had to meet several requirements based on scouting laws and principles. And those who met the standard were then nominated to be a part of the Order of the Arrow. And one of the things that the Order of the Arrow represented was the scout law. And many of us are familiar with the scout law. How many of you are familiar with the scout law? You have Girl Scouts, right? But Boy Scouts, right? And how about the scout oath? Right? On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty, right? To God and my country, right? So on, so forth. Time is of the essence. And so we know that
that there is an order that represents what scouting is all about, and God has an order as well. There is an order that is represents what God is all about. And even when you look at the something like the scout law, trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, for those of you who thought I forgot, you certainly see the principles of God in that order. And when you represent the principles of God, you certainly see that that order of the Lord is what brings about fruit. And when you follow the word of the Lord and the principles of God, you end up with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, right? And you're able to accomplish the will of God, and you're actually able to carry out and fulfill the Great Commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel, right? And so you and I are called to be a part of the divine order of God, to be effective. Once you enlist in the army of the Lord, you will find that your enemy is quite formidable, and he will rise up against you and do everything he can to distract you or to keep you from fulfilling the call of God. And that is why you have to become a polished arrow. You have to become skilled and able. You have to be equipped so that you can accomplish the will of God. In Psalm 16:8, we see David is saying, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. And this is a verse that we have looked at a few times over the course of this series. But here I want to particularly point out once again that God is at your right hand. He is right there with you. He is not somewhere out there, but the Lord is with you. He is right in the midst of whatever it is you're facing, whatever your circumstances and your situation is, God is there. And if God is there and you're aware of God, you're tuned in, you're tapped into God, then you will not be shaken. You see, when you experience the presence of God and God's power is radiating around you and in you and through you, nothing can shake you. It's not that you're not aware of things or you're just, you know, oblivious. You know, you're it just does not shake you. You have an understanding that God is with you and God will go before you. In fact, he's already got a plan. And so our responsibility is to hear what the Spirit of God is saying so that we can take the next steps that will lead us in the way of victory to overcome whatever the challenge is that we're facing. And when we trust in the Lord, God will make a way for us. He will make a way for us. But we have to be in tune with the Spirit of God. You must be operating in the presence of God, if you will, or under the anointing of God, so that you can hear. And God will reveal himself to you. Some things are easier for you to recognize and to hear than others. But the more you commune with God, the easier it becomes to hear the voice of God and the Spirit of God. I've heard many times people say, "No, I don't know the voice of God. I can't hear God. I haven't heard from God." And that is because very often people do not spend time with God. When you spend time with God, God reveals himself to you. He opens you up so that you can relate to him, the Spirit of God. God is spirit. We are in the flesh. And so we have to somehow relate to God in the spirit while we are in the flesh. And that's what the Word of God will do in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And when we fill up on the resources of God and of heaven, God has designed the Word of God to be a tool that can modulate you so that you become spirit sensitive. Or I should say, Spirit of God sensitive. because we're already sensitive to the spirits of darkness. We're already born in a sinful condition that makes us relate to sinfulness. And that's why it's easy for people to get angry and upset, and they can hold on to it. That anger and that feeling of oppression and evil, and feel comfortable in that state. And there are some people that they're so accustomed to it, and they actually enjoy being in that state. And every time something negative or bad happens, they gravitate to it, and they want to pass it on to other people. They want to make sure everybody hears or people know about this evil or this thing that is a hindrance or is part of the realm of darkness. And you've heard the saying, bad news travels fast. That is because the demon spirits that are behind all of this are at work against the light of truth and of God. And so when the darkness is at work, it moves through its network of darkness. But when good things happen and positive things happen, people barely even notice it. You see it on the news every day, right? Yeah, they got to have a special segment, the good news segment. Well, why isn't your whole program good news? Why is it that you just don't have good things to share with people? And it's because evil is what attracts evil. And people who are in the darkness are attracted to the evil. And everybody wants to know what other people are doing that are evil. And that is just the way the world works. And when you see this principle working all around you, you understand why God is a God of light. He dispels the darkness. And so he comes in and he will sustain you. He will keep you because God knows there's darkness all around you. There's negativity all around you. There is all types of evil that's designed to keep you from being who God has called you to be. And if we're not tuned into God and applying the principles of his word, then we will find ourselves outside of a divine experience in our lives. And so we would be shaken. But God says, you don't have to be. All you need to do is stay communing with God. Stay in touch with God. And this is why in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, this is a very popular verse, and I would like to just bring out a couple of things. Number one is that he says finally. That means he's going to summarize what we need to know. We need to understand that we need to be strong in the Lord. This is not about our level of education. This is not about our knowledge. This is not about our position in society and in the culture. This is about being strong in the Lord. In other words, we have God's strength working through us. That means the things that you normally would not be able to do, suddenly you can do. Suddenly, when you normally would be angry, you are not. You have peace. Suddenly, when you would want to respond and react in a negative way, you don't. You have self-control. Why? Because the Spirit of God is strengthening you, and he is enabling you. So the thing that you want to do, you will not do because God is holding on to you. You are in his strength. He is holding you. And this is what we all need, isn't it? You need the Lord to get a grip on you. You need, sometimes you're like, what the? And all of a sudden the Lord is like, I got you. I got this. And we want to respond, and we want to, because our flesh reacts to whatever it is that comes to us, whatever it is that we hear. And the more we desire to walk with God, the more opposition will come against us. Why? Because Satan doesn't like people breaking rank. He doesn't want you to get free out of the chain. He doesn't want you to be free from the shackles and the chains. He doesn't want you to be free from negativity. He wants you to be in bondage and in servitude to the darkness. And that is what the world is suffering with. And only Christ makes a way of escape. Only Christ enables us to overcome. But it's not just believing in Christ. It's walking in Christ. It's applying the principles of the Spirit of God, the Word of God. The devil believes, you've heard me say it a million times, the devil believes it can't be just about believing. It's got to be about what you do because you believe. And if we believe God, that's going to cause us to walk in a certain way with God, and he will impart strength to us. He will give us his might. We will get what God has. This is what Jesus modeled for all of us. In Acts 9:22, you see this about Saul. It says, Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. You see, when you're walking in the strength of God, in the wisdom of God, in the power of God, you will be able to confound those who would try to confound you. In other words, the very evil that would be working against you will be turned and worked against the other people who are trying to work it against you. It will go back because they will be sowing an evil seed that will come back to them. They will reap what they have sown because you have the barrier of the Lord. You have the strength of the Lord. And God will reflect that very thing right back on them because you are operating under the banner of truth. And Paul became strong in the Lord. He became a man who was able to take the things that the Jews were using in a religious sense and bring it to light in a very real and powerful sense. And this is what you and I are able to do when we apply the principles of God's word. In Ephesians 6:11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Number one, he says, put on the armor. That means you and I, we have to put it on. I'm not talking about, well, I'm putting on the armor of God in the morning in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I know that's cute and all, and that's fun. But what that really means is that you're preparing by walking with God. You spend time in the Word of God. You're meditating on it. You have time set aside each day where you are to listen to God. You want to spend time with him. You have a relationship with him. It's like when you are in a relationship, you spend time together. Isn't that right? You go out on dates. You go out to eat. You go and you do different things. Or even with your friends, if it's not a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of a thing, maybe it's just your friends. You spend time with them. You go out and you play sports or you watch sports or you get involved and you go to different events or activities. You just kind of do fun things together. And doing the fun things that you all enjoy to do builds your relationship up. Hallelujah. I don't know what happens when people get married. They forget that. They no longer do fun things together. All of a sudden, they break away and maybe everything becomes serious. And now everything is about life and survival. There are no more fun. I don't know. Got to get back to the fun, people. Join Ignite so you can learn how to have fun. And maybe if you're too old for that, send your kids. They'll come back and they'll teach you how to have fun. But we want to be able to enjoy. We are doing the things that are going to bring us closer together. And that's what we need to do in our walk with the Lord. And he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will. Not you might, not you could, but you will. Because it will become second nature to you. It will be a part of who you are. You will just respond. Have you ever seen people hurt themselves and then they let loose some expletive? Have you ever heard them say that? I'm talking about Christian people. You're saying, you know, all of a sudden there's something happening and they'll be like, oh, right? And you're like, what the?
Are you, what, who, what, how, what, did you just say that? Yeah, has that ever happened to you? You ever see that happen? Because why does that happen? It happens to people because that's what they're full of. When you're full of something, it's going to come out when you don't think about it. All of a sudden, you're going to respond or you're going to react in a way that's going to cause you to reveal what's on the inside. And when you're filled with God, you will glorify God. You will, without thinking about it, your reaction and your response will be automatic, and you will please God. You will honor the Lord. And when you're walking with God, God is cultivating this newness within you. He's reviving us. He's reshaping us and molding us so that we can reflect the image of Christ. And I'm sure Jesus, he was being a carpenter, probably hit his thumb with the hammer many times. I'm sure he didn't swear when he hit his hand or when he had some sort of experience. And you and I have to become in a mindset where we have self-control, and where even when things happen that are beyond our expectations or our abilities to manage or deal, we still respond out of the overflow of the Spirit of God. And so God is always stirring. He's always working and molding and shaping us so that whenever God arises in us, we are able to find that he will overflow into the situations when we are not expecting it. And this is what God is trying to do. And you'll be able to gauge yourself when you become more and more carnal. You might be strong in the Lord this year, but you've been carnal because you haven't spent time with God over the past few months. Now you become more and more carnal, and next thing you know, you're regressing. And all of a sudden, you take on a carnal mindset, and now your response isn't what it used to be. And you can ride that roller coaster up and down in life, and that is because there is a battle raging against us. Satan is trying to rob you of your time with God so that you can spend more time in the presence of his people than you're spending in the presence of God and his people. And whoever you spend time with, that's who you become like. And you will find yourself gravitating to that group. You've heard of a mob mentality, right? The mob mentality says that you will do things in a mob that you otherwise would not do if you were by yourself. And that mindset begins to take over the way that you live your life, the decisions that you make. And that is why we need to be under a divine influence. We need to follow the divine order of the Lord. And this is what God is doing. He's given us the ability to stand firm against the schemes. Notice it's schemes. That's a strategy. That means there are plans that have been drawn up based on who you are, what your strengths and weaknesses are, and there is a design plan to bring you down. It's the picture of two opposing teams who watch video films of how each team played other teams so they could learn the plays. They could learn how they operate, what it is that they do and how they do it, who their key players are and what their skill sets are and where their weaknesses are. And they watch these films over and over and over again to study their enemy so that they can win against them. Satan has been doing this for thousands of years. And as a result, he's quite good at it. And he is studying you and me. And his whole idea is that you and I are no different than somebody who's lived in history that he overcame. And he is able to match your personality, your ways, your style, your mentality, your mindset with someone else, and he will work the same plan against you that worked against someone else. And Satan will use this against you. The only hope you and I have is that we follow the plan of God, that the Spirit of the Lord give us a divine strategy so that we can follow the will of God. And that is what the Word of God is.
And so in verse 12, he's bringing out the fact that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers, world forces of this wickedness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a picture of a demonic hierarchy. Just like any army would have a hierarchy within its ranks in order to manage and control its effectiveness, Satan is doing the same thing. There are levels of authority in the spirit realm, and Satan is working against us. He's also using the world forces. And this is what is important to understand, that there are people in the world, most people, who are under satanic influence. They are under satanic influence, and they're your friends because they're on assignment against you. That is why you work with them. That is why you are there. That is why you are in the midst of them. But God is not shaken by this. God says, I will give you more power so that you can overcome these strategies that are working against you. This is what God says. He says, I am not shaken. I'm not going to have you run. I'm not going to have you be worried or concerned or be fearful. I'm just giving you the playbook. And all you have to do is obey the word of the Lord. And if you obey the Lord, you will be victorious. You will overcome. In fact, you will be able to go in and pull down the strongholds of the enemy. You will be able to set the captives free. You will be able to speak life and bring liberty to the captive. That is the mission of each and every believer. And so rather than be concerned about being the only Christian around or in a place, be concerned about taking advantage of the opportunities that God is allowing you to have so that you can bring down the resources of the enemy and bring life to the person who is bound by evil. And this is what God has called you and I to do. This is the warfare that we're in. We are in the battle. When you go into the army or any of the armed forces, they don't just give you a whole bunch of gear and weapons and throw you out there on the front lines and say, just get them. They don't do that. But they spend weeks, several weeks, 13 weeks, or I think it is, right, of training. And they're grueling you and they're grooming you so that you're able, even in your worst fearful moment, you know what to do because you've done it so many times, it's like second nature to you. And so you're able to recognize the enemy. You can manage your any issues or problems you might face, and you can respond without thinking about it because they filled you up on the resources that you need so that you can overflow in your times of trouble and still come to a place of victory. Well, God is using the same plan. He is using the same strategy. And he is trying to impart himself to us in a way that will give us strength so that we can overcome the darkness. We're all fighting against evil, and it just shows up in different ways. But when you are understanding the principles of God and you begin to apply them, it'll just come to you. You won't even have to think about it. When something happens, you will respond because you've been communing with God, and it becomes a part of who you are. It becomes a part of your identity, your nature. And instead of cursing and swearing, you will be able to speak the word of God, which will be like a sword, and it will cut through to the marrow of the bone. It will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. God has given us this ability, this strength, and this way to overcome the challenges that we will face. And so that brings me to these parts of the arrow. And I happen to have an arrow with me here, thanks to my good old buddy, Pastor Raphael, who has all kinds of gizmo gadgets and stuff. And this is an arrow. And certainly we're all familiar with these, and we've seen them. We've used them in summer camps, and we've been to various places. Some of us are hunters and we use these. And there's all types of uses for the arrow. But God says that the arrow is something that represents who we are to God. I love that. And it says that we can raise up our children who can fill our quiver, which is something like this. This is a little funky modern one, but it holds the arrows. That's what a quiver does. Your house, your family structure. And God has identified us as being like an arrow who God can launch into situations and circumstances and cause things to happen. You have the ability to cause things to happen. And so the first part of the arrow is the cresting ID. Now, the cresting ID is this little marker right here. It's printed on this. I don't know if you could see it, but it's right in here. And this one says that it was made by Super Slam, apparently. It's an Easton arrow. I guess the company is Eastern, and this is called a Super Slam. But it's got an ID on it. You and I have an ID on us. The marker that is on us is the Holy Spirit of God. We are in Christ. Christ is the one who we identify with and who identifies us. And as a result of having a relationship with God, God's mark is always on us. So no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, God will be able to identify you as his own. The challenge is that Satan can also identify you. If he finds you in a dark place, he can say, you are of the light of Christ. He will recognize you. He will identify you and know that you are an enemy of his. And he will know that he is, for the very purpose of who you are, bring you down. His goal will be to hinder you. And that is why we need to make sure that we are accurate in God so we don't find ourselves somewhere we don't belong or in a place where we ought not be, but that we go where God has intended us to go so that we can be effective. And so verse 13 says, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the devil. Not might, but will. You will. And so why would you be shaken if God says you will? If God says you will, then there's no reason to be shaken. And so it says so that you will be able to resist the evil in the evil day. This is interesting because notice it says resist in the evil day. Well, anybody can resist when things are going your way. We all sing that song, oh, he's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Oh, I bind you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. Yeah, that's because nothing's happening. There's nobody shooting back at you. Everything is going okay. But wait until the devil shows up and he grabs you by your lapels and begins to shake you or shake your children or shake your wife or your husband or shake your job and the people around you. And all of a sudden, trouble is happening and issues are going on, all because he's trying to bring you down. Well, then it's not so easy. Now it's not, I don't remember hearing people saying, the devil is under my feet when they're in the hospital room. I don't hear people singing how they're rebuking the devil and devil, Satan, get behind me when they're in the midst of challenges and they're having arguments and fights with each other and there's all types of contention and problems. We don't sing those songs. We don't make those claims. We're looking at the person and we're thinking, mama said knock you out. God is saying, let Christ arise. Let Christ arise. If you have the identifying marker of Jesus, then you ought to be able to represent the kingdom of God. God says you will be able to resist in the evil day. Why? Because you've done everything to stand firm. That means ahead of time, you have been prepared. You are well prepared. You have been walking with God, communing with God, meditating on his word, listening to his voice, and you are on the alert. You're being sensitive. You know the enemy is out to get you. You ever see a deer when they're walking in the woods and they hear a sound? They go. They're insured. He's on the alert. He's always looking. Thank you. This is what Satan is doing for us. He's given us the opportunity to pay attention. He says, let's see how aware you really are. Let's see if you're really paying attention. And God is there waiting for us. God is there with us and helping us to overcome so we can recognize when the enemy comes in like a flood. The word of God says God rises up a standard against them. It is God who raises it up. That means God has to be nearby, doesn't he? He has to be with you. He's in the midst of us so that he can do something. We're operating in the strength of God. Hallelujah. So stand firm, saints of God. Do everything you can to be ready and then stand firm when the time comes. He says, standing firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness of Christ. You have Christ in your heart. You have Christ working in your life. You are genuinely born of God. You see, if you've never been born again, then none of this is going to work for you. It's not going to happen. So you must be born again. That's the first thing that we have to hold on to. When we come to God with a heart of repentance and we're yielded and surrendered before God, then we can build a relationship with God. No one builds relationships with strangers. That does not happen. Nobody marries somebody they don't know. Well, I know they have a TV show that they do that, but that's not real. That's not reasonable. But the average person does not do that, right? We don't do that. You build a relationship first, and then it develops into a powerful relationship that leads to a family. And this is what God is doing. He is building our relationship with him so that we can gain strength, so that we can be effective at bringing the truth of God to those who don't know him. We grow the family. And so, having girded our loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, Christ is working in us, working through us. That gives us a hunger and a desire. The breastplate covers your whole midsection, the core of your body. That means your stomach, and it means your heart and your lungs, all of these areas that are sensitive that need to function and operate. And that's what the Spirit of God will do. He will give you a new life. He will strengthen you at the core of who you are. And this is what the Lord is protecting. The Spirit of God will protect you from within. In Philippians 3:9, he says, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And so you must have faith in God. When you have faith in God, then the righteousness of Christ will begin to strengthen within you. Your faith in God will lead to righteousness as you apply the principles of God's word. And that leads us to the knock. The knock of the arrow is this portion right back here, right where the bow connects on the back. And if you notice, the knock is aligned a certain way so that the arrow will face in the right direction. And it is also a counterweight in the back that will enable the arrow to fly in a balanced manner. You and I need a knock in our lives. We need the word of God to act as a knock. It anchors us so that God can hold on to us and we can hold on to God. It's where the relationship with God and the relationship with us come together. And he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Shod, that word means that it's connected or attached or connected to your feet. It's on the bottom. In other words, you're walking on the gospel. It's like the soles under the soles of your feet. Like if you had snowshoes and you were walking on the snow. You and I, we're going through life. We're walking on the gospel. The gospel is where is our foundation. We are operating in the preparation of the gospel of Christ. That means we are prepared for life by applying the principles of God and his word. We're living out the word of God, the good news of Jesus. We are able to experience the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? He calls it the gospel of peace. And it's because you and I, we can have peace when we're walking with Jesus. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Why? Because my mind is staying on the Lord. And Satan will do everything he can to get you to look at the wrong thing. People are going to come to you. As soon as you say, I'm going to spend time with God, all of a sudden, people got to call you. All of a sudden, you're texting. Your phone is going ding, 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 ding. Phone is ringing. All of a sudden, the kids, they come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, everybody needs you. Nobody can do anything without you. All of a sudden, everything has to happen, and it has to happen now. If it's time for you to go to Bible study or come to church, all of a sudden, all these distractions start popping up to try to keep you from going to church, to try to keep you from spending time with God, keep you from growing in your relationship with the Lord. Satan is strategizing against you. The question is, can you see it? And are you able to stand and do everything you can to stand? We must be able to stand so that we can operate in the preparation of the gospel and have the gospel of peace. And so the next part of the arrow is the arrowhead. Now this is a hunting head, and this actually has three razor blade-like edges on it, and it is very sharp. And the point on this is, woo, really, really sharp. And yeah, but it's designed, and it has a purpose to penetrate an animal, to go into the skin or the body. And the head has to be shaped, and it has to be sharpened according to its purpose. And you and I, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be sharp in our relationship with God. In verse 16, he says, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. When Satan is firing his arrows at you and at me, God says these things are so sharp, they're so powerful, you will get hit. It will pierce you. But he says the flaming arrow, which is how we know it's a demonic arrow and a demonic attack, God says you will be able to extinguish it. It may get you, but you will not. It will not consume you. It will not destroy you. It will not ruin you. God says, you'll be able to pull this thing out and throw it down. The weapons will not prevail against you. They will not hinder you because you are covered with the breastplate of righteousness. And it may hit and pierce in, but the righteousness of Christ, the Spirit of God, God says, I will not allow it to shake you. You will not be shaken. And so you can say, it's just got me in the breastplate. Devil, get behind me. You're not going to prevail against me. And that is why we have to walk according to the principles of God and his word, walking in the righteousness of God, so that when the enemy hits and people are going to say things to you, they're going to do things against you, you're going to face all kinds of issues and problems, and it's going to anger you and it's going to upset you, but you have to learn how to allow it to hit you in the breastplate. Hallelujah. If you don't wear your breastplate, you're going to respond in the wrong way. You're going to respond out of the pain, out of the anger, out of the hurt. And you're going to do things that you otherwise would not do because you don't have the breastplate of righteousness. And so when we cover ourselves and we're prepared ahead of time, then when we are under attack and we get the hit, we will not be shaken. We will be able to stand. And so God says you ought to put on the helmet of salvation. That's verse 17. He says the helmet of salvation protects your mind. It puts on your head because it is a mind game. Satan is trying to mess with your mind. He wants you to believe things that are not true. He wants you to think things that are from you when they're really from him. He's trying to deceive, and he's trying to bring you to a place where you will be distracted from hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. You're either hearing from God or you're not. And if you're not hearing from God, then you're subject to anything the devil says because you're going to think that it's legitimate and that it's real because he is the master deceiver. That is what he does. He tries to get you to think something is true when it's not. Or he tries to get you to believe something regarding the things of God is not true when it really is. And so he tries to bring confusion into your life. In fact, he is the God of confusion. He is the author of confusion. That's why the scripture says God is not the author of confusion. And when you see people who are operating in confusion, and it's easy to identify because on one hand they say one thing, but on the other hand they act and respond in another way. That's a spirit of confusion. They're doing things that are not in line with their identity or their character or what it is that they know to be right and to be true. That is a spirit of confusion at work in a person's life. And that is why you and I have to be able to stand so that we can operate in the strength of God. And he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You need a sword. When you're in a battle and everybody's got weapons, you need a sword. You need some kind of weapon. You need some kind of tool to fight back. And that's what the word of God is. It is the tool to fight back. Why? Because it's a mind game. And this is why whenever you try to do what's right and what God would have you to do, there's always a distraction. Somebody will come along and say something, try to discourage you, try to hinder you, but you have to have your helmet on. And when you have your helmet on, then you're like, what'd you say? I couldn't hear you. What was that? Speak up a little bit. No, you don't hear it. And that's because God has a noise-canceling helmet. He is able to block out all the evil noise, all of the things that are not of God. People are going to come and they're going to say things, and you got to be like, talking to the helmet. You're talking to the helmet right now because I'm focused. I'm staying the course. God has given me my assignment. He's given me the word of God. I'm going to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so he says, when we abide in the word of God and we have on the helmet of salvation, that God will sustain us. This helmet of salvation is what keeps your mind covered so that you don't find yourself meditating on the wrong thing. A lot of times we're meditating on evil and things that somebody did or said against us or that we didn't like or that bothered us. And the next thing we know, we start responding and acting accordingly. And this is what robs you of your joy. It robs you of your peace, your patience. It robs you of all of the resources that God has given you. And this is the strategy that Satan uses to take back what God gave to you. Hallelujah. And this is why you and I have to stand. And you have to do everything you can to stand because every day Satan is trying to rob you. And if you are not paying attention, he will pick your pockets and you will find yourself empty and nothing. I remember I was riding the subway on my way to work back, I guess this is back in the early 2000s, around the turn of the century. I was sitting there on the train. There was a lot of people in there, and there was this lady who was holding on to the pole in the middle, and this guy was next to her. You know, everybody's jammed in there. He pulls out a knife, and the knife was like this long. And she's got this bag, big pocketbook, and as the train was rocking and swaying, he was jabbing the knife into her bag, and he cut a hole in the bottom of her bag, and stuff started falling out. And he started to just kind of let it go through his hands and his fingers as it slowly fell to the ground. And he took things. He took her wallet. He had, you know, little trinkets and jewelry. She had stuff that she had thrown in her bag. And by the time she left, her bag was empty and all her stuff was on the floor as she ran off the train because she was on her way to work. Didn't even realize that this was all going on. And this is how the devil works. He is sly, he is slippery, and he is evil, and he's doing all kinds of sneaky things that will cause you to come up short when you have a need. And that is why we have to be ready. This is why we have to have the right tools and we're having the right mindset, because Satan is after your mind. He's after the mind of the children. He starts when they're young. Even the schools now are teaching all kinds of stuff that you would never approve of your kid learning, and they're teaching it right now in schools. And they keep the parents out so they don't know what's being taught. They're not aware. And if you're not engaged, and if you're not talking to your child and talking to the teachers, you will be operating in darkness. And you'll be thinking that things are going one way when they're going another. And all of a sudden, your kid won't want to be in youth group or Ignite. They'll want to be somewhere else doing something else with a bunch of people who are under demonic influence. And this is why you and I have to be on the alert. We have to pay attention. We need the helmet of salvation so that we can appropriately utilize the Word of God, standing on the truths of God, so that the Word of God can be effective in our lives. Isaiah 59:17 says, "He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle." And this is a picture of what Jesus did. This is how Jesus was able to accomplish the will of God, how he overcame the cross and rose up in victory. It was because he put on righteousness like a breastplate. So when the enemy came against him, he was just getting hit in the breastplate. He had on his helmet of salvation. So even when he was tempted in the desert, he was not able to give in because the devil was talking to the helmet. He knew who he was. He understood what his purpose was and what his life was all about. And he did not forget. You and I have to do the same thing. We have to put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrap ourselves with a zeal for God as a mantle. I pray that you have a zeal for the Lord, that you are fervent in God, that you are determined to overcome and persevere in the ways of the Lord. This is why God has given us the Spirit of God so that we can reap of his power and his strength to overcome. And that brings us to the fletching. The fletching is this part right here. You see these, this could be feathers. In this case, it's plastic. All right, so, but actually it's more like almost like a rubbery kind of plastic. And so this is designed to keep the arrow flying straight. Not only does this, is it not just here, but if you notice, the fletching has two different colors. There are the yellow fletchings, and then there is the white. The reason that there is one white and two yellows is so you know which way to face the arrow on the bow. The white, or the odd color, always stands up, and it's got a slightly different form to it so that it keeps the arrow flying straight and level. And it's kind of like the rudder on the back of a plane. And so it is able to keep this going in the way that it was aimed to go so it can go right into the target. And this is what God is doing in our lives. He has given us a fletching as well. It says in verse 19 of Ephesians 6, "Pray on my behalf," Paul says, "that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." God has called us. He has sent us into the world to bring the gospel, to preach the gospel. So we have to fly straight. We need the fletching. We need prayer. And we need people who are interceding in our lives so that we can stay the course. We need to be able to hold on to the principles and the truth of God so we can fly straight and we can reach our target. This is what God is working out in our lives. He has given us this ability so that we can live a balanced life, a balanced Christian life that enables us to fly straight. This is what the shaft is all about. The shaft is what holds everything together. It's the part of the arrow from here, right before the nock, down to the arrowhead. Just this piece in here. And this is designed so you can change out the parts. You can actually change out the nock. You can change out the heads. And you're able to replace the head with another type of head. Or the nock, if you need a different nock to balance with the head. And so God has given us the ability. I was saying God has given us the shaft, but that didn't sound right. So he's not doing that. But God is actually blessing us, and he is enabling us so that we could be effective in the things of God. He's given us a balance. He's given us the ability to fly straight. He has given us of himself, and we are anchored in Christ. We are anchored in the Lord. He is the one who is sustaining us and making the way for us. Finally, Paul says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." When you're flying straight, God will give you boldness. When you're balanced in God, he will give you opportunity to witness and to share and to tell the truth of God. In Isaiah 52:7, he says, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns." Saints of God, don't entertain people who come with negative things, with things that are designed to bring you down, things that are designed to hinder you. You are a child of God. You're only interested in the good news of happiness, that which enables you to reflect on the fact that God reigns. He rules and reigns in your life, in all of our lives. You are as of the arrow of the Lord, and God has enabled you. That's why in Romans 10:15, Paul says, "How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things," as we just read. And so even as Paul is quoting this passage in the Old Testament, we see that God has said it before and he's saying it again. You and I are able to accomplish the will of God as we follow the word of God, as we live balanced Christian lives. Don't let the enemy throw you off. Don't let him mess with your mind and get you into a mindset that is going to cause you to be out of balance. Let yourself fly straight in the Spirit of God so that you will have the experience David had when he said he broke the flaming arrows, the shield and the sword and the weapons of war. God is our victor. God is able to give us the strength and the power we need to overcome the strategies of the enemy when we walk according to his divine order. The divine order of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pick it up, guys. Pick it up a little bit.
Glory come on. God.
Hallelujah. Yes,
you
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Things.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
You can do all things. You can do all things, but fail, because you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle.
Saints of God, you can fly straight. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. Don't get hung up on all your own shortcomings and your own weaknesses. Anchor yourself in God and let his strength become yours. We all have shortcomings and weaknesses. That's why we're not living in our own strength. We're living in the strength of God. we're learning how to yield and surrender to the Spirit of God so that His strength will work through us. You and I are more than conquerors because Christ is the one who goes before us. God is our fortress and our shield. It is the Lord who enables us to overcome. There is nothing you cannot accomplish. You are able to do abundantly more than what you could even ask or imagine because God is able to as He works through you. This is why Paul says, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Saints of God, when Christ is strengthening you, there is nothing you cannot accomplish. There is nothing you cannot do. Just keep on your helmet and stop listening to all that negativity and bad news that people are trying to impart to you, to impart fear to you, to try to hinder you and to bring you down, to discourage you. But you hold on to the truths of God. God is enabling you to fly as straight as an arrow, and you will live your life balanced as the Spirit of God guides you in the ways of the Lord. So I pray in the name of Jesus, dear God, that you would raise up your people, strengthen and enable us. We ask, oh God, that you would be glorified in our lives. Help us to hear your voice and follow you, to cultivate a relationship that will lead to greater strength and power. Lord, we thank you for giving us victory over the strategies of the enemy so that we could walk in the ways of God and accomplish your will, fulfilling the Great Commission, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, helping those who are in darkness come to the light as you have called us to do as the people of God, as the children of God. And we thank you, O God, for all these things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, saints of God, we thank you for coming out to the Orange County Fellowship today. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord would enable you. Learn how to hear His voice and trust in Him. Don't let the enemy throw you off course. Keep that helmet on. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. God is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But He is with you always, even to the end of the age. Even when things collapse completely, God will be with you and He will see you through and you will be able to overcome because Christ is working through you. Amen? Amen. God bless you and thank you all for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.